This is Chris Elmore with 91.3 WHJE. Today I'm joined by Laura Campbell, a Carmel City Councilwoman and the party chair of the Hamilton County Republican Party. So today we're going to play some Desert Island. So what Desert Island is I'm going to ask for one book, one luxury item, and then three songs that Miss Campbell would have to listen to for the rest of her life. If you were stuck on a desert island forever, what would be your top choice of a book that you would bring? Can't be a religious book. Let's say you've already got those.
That's fine. Well, it's interesting. There are two thoughts about this because that leads to my luxury item. So my first thought was I'd like to bring a Kindle with me, you know, a tablet, because I love to read. And so then I could have access as long as I could get a cell signal. But I do have books downloaded to my tablet and to my phone. So I would have an endless supply of things to read, which would be fantastic because it seems like just with city council work and political work, I don't have enough time to read things I really like. But the first book I would choose is a book I just started by Cokie Roberts. It's called Ladies of Liberty. And I would want that to be the first book because I have been trying to finish this book and the last couple of months have been busy. And so I'm just kind of reading it in between meetings and other things that are going on. So it's about women who shaped our nation. And the first chapter is about John and Abigail Adams. And even in the first chapter, it's clear how much impact Washington wives had on meetings. They used a lot of social engagements, receptions, parties to bring men together. And so it was a subtle way of getting things accomplished in Washington. So this would be my first book that I would want to read if I could bring a Kindle or if I had to bring a paperback.
So as a Carmel City Councilwoman, and relating to that book, do you think that political wives in today's climate still control a lot of things for politicians and things like that and still shape our nation a lot?
Boy, that is a tough and loaded question. I think that for the most part, spouses may have discussions with each other about world events, but I don't get the impression that there is that much impact. I think people, just as we've come along, I think elected officials kind of make decisions. You know, they gather a lot of information when they make their decisions. So I don't know if it's as prevalent today as it was back then.
What would be the luxury item you would pick then?
So the luxury item would be a solar-powered generator so that I could power my Kindle or phone. So that would be my luxury item.
Fair enough. So let's say you had to pick your first song that you would listen to for eternity. Mm-hmm. What would you listen to?
It would be the national anthem. Love the national anthem. It brings tears to my eyes when people sing it. I love hearing it. And as you and I were discussing earlier, I've walked in a lot of parades where there's just a continuous tape of patriotic songs. And I love a lot of them, but national anthem is something I could listen to endlessly.
Why do you think the national anthem really resonates with you that much?
I just think the expression of just pride in our country and just the words and, I've just read a lot about, the author of the song. And just I just think, especially in the last 10 years, I think patriotism is I don't know. Some people look down on it, and I'm very proud of our country. And so I just love hearing a song, and I love hearing people who are willing to sing the national anthem. I cannot carry a tune to save my life, so I could make people cry, but for the wrong reasons, if they heard me sing the national anthem. But I'm always so impressed, and just with the notes and how people can hold a note for such a long time when they sing it. I'm so impressed by it. So it's always very emotional when I hear that song.
You mentioned that patriotism is sort of being looked down upon. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is today?
Well, personally, I think it really went back to our previous presidential administration. I think that it seemed like people weren't respecting law and order, and it was okay to do that. And to, and I think it's okay to challenge different ideas, or even to challenge existing laws that are on the books. But there's a way to do it. It's almost like it became cool to, not to act out against the police, or people were revered for example, kneeling during the national anthem. I understand why people do that, but most of us who have jobs can't do just what we feel like when we're on the clock. And so I think that became very divisive for our country as well, because there are people like me who are patriotic and love hearing the national anthem. And I think somebody who, again, is doing a job, who is a football player for the NFL, should be standing with the rest of us when we hear the national anthem.
What gives you that sort of patriotic drive that you were talking about earlier? Is it something that was instilled into your childhood? Were you raised to be incredibly patriotic, or is that just something that you've kind of developed over time?
You know, I think it was the way I grew up. I grew up in New Jersey. I was born in Connecticut, lived in New Jersey, and there was just a lot of interest in history and the colonial days. Like every year, our town had like a colonial days, and we would march in parades, and we were just so aware of it. And when you see what people fought for freedom and for this country we're so blessed to live in, I think it was instilled at an early age. And my parents did talk politics when we were younger, and there was always interest in current events. But I think it was just something that came naturally as a kid when I was growing up.
What would be the next song that you would go with?
There is a song. I first heard it in church, at a church service, and it's called Hold Us Together. And what I love about that song is there's a line that says, this is the first day of the rest of your life. And I think people forget that. I've been through tough times. I have a daughter who has some serious health issues. And when it's so easy to get caught up in the difficulty of the day. And it's good to remember, you wake up the next day, it's the first day of the rest of your life. The previous day, previous week, even previous months could have been horrible, but you have the ability to change your life the next day. It's a clean slate.
So I know a lot of people that would take things like that, having a daughter with serious health issues or things starting to go wrong in people's lives, and wake up totally unmotivated. How do you think that waking up happy and ready to go and realizing this is the first day of the rest of your life, how do you think that that's important for our society?
Well, and it's not even just being happy, because I think the media, commercials, marketing says you should be happy. And I disagree with that. I mean, it's great to find happiness, but you're not going to be happy, you know, every minute of a 24-hour day. There are just things that happen. And I think that you have to find something that motivates you. And that goes along with my third song that I choose that we'll get to in a minute. But I think people have to realize that difficulty, it's hard to go through. But once you go through it, there is a strength that you find after you've been through a difficult time. And I wish more people would realize it, especially kids who are high school age and college age, because it seems like you're not going to get past this time, or kids or people in general are unfriendly or can be mean. And it's hard to remember that. And when, because I was in high school, I was like everybody else. I felt like I had bad hair days. It was tough. And I look back on that, and there are people I knew from high school. And it's interesting because I always thought, oh, they would go on to have successful lives. And I've been very surprised at the paths that they chose, or you know, the paths they went down. So I think it's good to realize that there is a strength that comes through going through difficult times. And while it's tough, you do have to look for moments of happiness or even contentedness to get you through.
So you think that the normalization of constantly being happy is an unhealthy thing for our society because people still need to go through struggles in order to develop as people?
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the things in this book, Ladies of Liberty, I look forward to getting to, because some of the wives of our presidents would go join them at camp in the middle of winter. And sometimes they would give birth at these camps. And they went through such difficult times. And I think it's easy to think, well, or to forget that things were so difficult in forming our nation, that books like this are good. And I tend to look for stories of people who've overcome odds to get to where they are. And because, again, I think there's so much pressure, especially on kids today, to be happy or, you know, do what makes you happy. Well, that's just not the reality of life. I think you have to find something that interests you, that motivates you. And no, you're not going to be happy all the time, but that's the way life is. But I unfortunately think the expectations are set so high for happiness, and they're just not realistic.
Do you see a future where this issue gets better among today's youth, where they kind of realize that hardships are also part of life? Or you see this as a trend that's going to continue, and people always having expectation that they should always be happy?
Well, I have hope that this will change. And I think as we're talking about mental health issues more, I mean, I remember 10 years ago, we weren't talking about mental health issues or drug addictions. And so I have some hope, and I see it a little bit more. But unfortunately, I still think a lot of kids are focused on the marketing, and you do see a lot of this marketing of, you know, be happy and do what makes you happy. But I do have hope that that will change.
So what would be the third song that you would pick?
Okay, the third song was a song I heard on just one of the worst days of my life. It's by the All-American Rejects, Move Along.
Shaking cold, these hands are meant to hold.
Stay tuned. Move along, like I know you do. And even when your hope is gone, move along, move along.
And it is a song I think is so inspiring. I never get tired of it. And it just it says, you know, basically when you feel like you can't go any further, move along. And I think to me, what that means is keep busy, that you have to keep going and moving forward. And even though it's hard, because like I said, with my daughter's health issues, some mornings it was hard to get up and face the day. And, you know, a test result would come back that was bad or not what we'd hoped. And it's very difficult, but just getting out of bed, get moving. And I don't know that people understand how important that is, because it's really easy to stay in bed and pull the covers over your head. And people always tell me that I smile a lot, and I do, but it's not because I'm happy. I mean, sometimes I just realize I need a boost. And if you smile, you can't help but feel a little bit better. But that's something I had to learn. It wasn't something I just always knew. And that song just appeals to me because it is about going through difficult times and just keep moving along and pushing forward.
So I guess this kind of relates to your responses from the last song too, but do you see moving forward and moving through hard times is something that our society is decreasingly doing? Like, do you think that people are starting to just lay over and give up? Or do you see people still moving forward and moving through difficult times the way they used to?
Yeah, I feel like people give up more easily. It was interesting because I had a conversation with a woman who advises high school students, not at this high school, but about internships. And we talked about how there had been helicopter parents, and now there are these lawnmower parents who want to kind of mow down any obstacle in their way. And that's what I'm afraid of, is that kids aren't learning that you do have to get over obstacles. Your parents aren't always going to be there, you know, fighting your battles for you. And the more you learn how to fight your battles for yourself, the stronger you are, and the better you are also to avoid situations that may not be good situations. So I feel like that has gotten worse, and that people are not, that they give up a little too easily now. But yeah, I see a lot of strength in parents who also have kids with various special needs and health issues. And I look at them and I just think, I'm glad that when I was younger, my parents didn't make it easy for me, because if they did, I don't know if I could have survived, you know, all these doctor visits and all these difficult times with my daughter. Because sometimes you look back when you're going through it, you think, gosh, I don't know if I can make it through. And then you get through it and you look back and you're like, you know, I did pretty well. I came through it. And I think when we look at suicide rates and issues of mental health, I think that is getting worse.
As we're talking about how more people nowadays are starting to kind of lay over and give up easier, do you see this issue getting better or getting worse because there aren't parents who are really pushing that, because that's not what they've been doing as well?
Yeah, and this is my unprofessional opinion. It's just what I see. But I feel like parents intervene too much in their kids' lives. And I am thankful because my parents kind of let me handle, you know, most of my issues at school. There was never anything severe, but I mean, if I didn't get a good grade on the test, I was accountable for that. And I hear sometimes from teachers that parents will call them if their kids don't get a good grade. And I think, gosh, my parents always put it squarely on me. Okay, you know, and kind of told me, okay, you need to figure out, what does the teacher want? What are their expectations? And I think as you go through life, that helps you, like with bosses, from the first job that you'll ever have until your fourth or fifth job in life. It's all about figuring out, what do people expect? What does your boss expect? And that helps you. And it doesn't, and your ideas are not always going to be, you know, taken on by a boss. A boss is not always going to say, yeah, that's a great idea, let's run with it. They might say it's a good idea, but how can you make this better? And I think if you do have challenges, it does help you develop almost like a decision-making ability, you know, and a think outside the box kind of ability to resolve problems.
This has been Desert Island Discs with Carmel City Councilwoman and Hamilton County Republican Party Chair Laura Campbell, brought to you by the WHJE Human Interests Department.